You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the 49er Access Post, and today we are going to look at all of these NFL free agency updates that we've seen come out post-NFL Combine. ESPN's released some, Ian Rappaport had an update on Brandon Ayuk, and there is even some draft news that could impact free agency thus far. There's so much time to be had in between now and when signings can take place, but we did get some news yesterday, and even in fact this morning. The San Francisco 49ers have hired former Seattle Seahawks linebacker KJ Wright as their assistant linebackers coach and defensive quality coach, as Wright announced himself on his own podcast. Obviously, we know KJ Wright here in San Francisco, being a Seattle Seahawk, being a Las Vegas, then Oakland Raider for one season, 11-year NFL career, and was elected to one Pro Bowl and did win one Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. This move, albeit is small, it's an indication as to where San Francisco is heading, okay? The San Francisco 49ers promoted Nick Sorensen, the defensive coordinator, and they made it a point to say, we're going back to our identity. This Pete Carroll, front four, rushing for, you know, defensive players, defensive linemen with zone coverage behind them. They hire or promote Nick Sorensen, bring in Brandon Staley. What do they do a few days later? As you can see my dog behind me on the screen. They then go hire the second best linebacker under Pete Carroll when he was in Seattle, KJ Wright, to be their assistant linebackers coach. Again, they continue to steer themselves back to who they once were prior to Steve Wilks. They continue to steer the ship back to their identity as to who they once were. It's a small hiring, not going to have a massive impact, but that's the news this morning. San Francisco continuing to push themselves, nudge themselves closer to who they were prior to hiring Steve Wilks, Nick Sorensen, now KJ Wright joining the staff to get them back to that Seattle front four. Marry the front seven together, right? Marry your linebackers with your defensive linemen, which then help the cornerbacks and secondary in return. They are essentially bringing in two people in the Pete Carroll regime into San Francisco, giving them, at least in Sorensen's case, a pivotal spot defensive coordinator on this team. Again, pushing them back to who they once were under Ryans and under Saleh to a certain degree. But that was today's news. Let's dive into free agency. The thumbnail says and shows Chase Young and Brandon Ayuk. Let's dive into updates on those two players. The first one being Chase Young. Now, Chase Young is arguably, at least when it comes to San Francisco, one of the more polarizing free agents that we have to either choose to retain or let walk. The talent is there for Chase Young. The potential is certainly there for Chase Young. He just hasn't seemed to put it all together consistently. But there is a report that, per ESPN's Dan Graziano, that the Niners have at least some interest in bringing back edge rusher Chase Young. Now, Graziano mentions that Chase Young's relationship with Nick Bosa is a great one. Obviously, went to Ohio State together. Whenever Washington played San Francisco, they'd always get pictures together. And when Chase Young got acquired, it was a big moment of, hey, reuniting in Santa Clara under the red and gold banner. But despite their relationship, Graziano adds that Chase Young might need to take a one-year prove-it deal. That's fine. A one-year prove-it deal for Chase Young would do many teams wonders, would do himself wonders, hopefully prove, hey, I can be locked in for 17, maybe even 17-plus games, which he wasn't in San Francisco and certainly was not in Washington. It would do Chase Young wonders. And if you can get that locked-in Chase Young for 17 games, it'll do whatever team assigns him wonders as well. If that is indeed the San Francisco 49ers, you get a locked-in, you know, just amped up 110% Chase Young for 17 games plus some playoff games, you are getting yourself potentially a high-end edge rusher opposite Nick Bosa. I think everybody would sign up for that. I'm someone who said my bold prediction was San Francisco was going to sign a premier elite edge rusher in free agency, then draft their tackle in the first round. If that is indeed Chase Young, okay, but you have to get that guarantee, which there has not been in his, what, short 4 or 5 years in the NFL, that, hey, I'm going to be locked in every single game. I'm going to give 110% every single game, because Graziano, in his report, although small, did mention that Young was seen as a little bit of a disappointment by San Francisco. So they themselves, albeit, what, a third-round draft pick for Chase Young? Great. Who cares? It's a comp pick. That's fine. But even then, for a third-round pick, which to San Francisco could be a bust running back, could be an unusable tight end, but it can also be a valuable safety like Jair Brown, could be a Fred Warner type of player. A third-round pick is not nothing, right? But for Chase Young's talents, it's certainly worth the risk. San Francisco, despite only giving up a third pick in this report, did see Chase Young as a disappointment. And it's hard to disagree with them. If that is the case, and San Francisco did trade a third-round pick for Chase Young and say, hey, when the season came to an end, despite what Chase Young did in the Super Bowl, which he may have been their best defensive player in that game, he was awesome for this defense in the Super Bowl. It doesn't erase the other 9-plus games, 12 games he had donning the red and gold. There was a lack of effort for a portion of the season. There was games he just was not in the box score. And when you look at his stats, which, let's be honest here, stats are not everything, right? You can have no stats, but your run grade is amazing. Your pass rush efficiency is awesome. You can change plays, alter a pocket by not getting a tackle, not getting a sack, and not getting a pressure. You can do things. Like, you can have the Eric Armstead interior defensive lineman effect of, my name isn't lighting up box scores, but I'm impacting the game, right? Chase Young had plenty of games this year where he wasn't getting tackles, he wasn't getting sacks, he wasn't getting pressures, and was a non-factor. But just looking at the box score, okay? Splitting up his stats in Washington, where he played just six games, only six games in Washington, 12 total games, including playoffs with San Francisco. Now, mind you, different schemes, different systems, but also different personnel, which, no offense to Washington, they have Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, they had Montez Sweat. They had some guys, some dogs up front that I think anybody would want on their team. The personnel in San Francisco is better. Defensive player of the year, Nick Bosa, Javon Hargrave. You have two all-pro linebackers behind you. You have an all-pro cornerback. You have really good safeties. Like, his play should have increased in San Francisco, and in fact, it really did not. So, in Washington, six games, one pass deflection. In San Francisco, 12 games, one pass deflection. In Washington, or during the season, excuse me, five total sacks, okay? With San Francisco, 3.5 sacks. Like, it's not like he did much in the box score. 33 total tackles, just 18 of those came with San Francisco. 9 tackles for loss. He only had 3 with San Francisco, including the playoffs. He had 17 quarterback hits, 9 came with Washington. Only 8 came with San Francisco. In fact, his numbers, although similar, declined when he got to a better system with better defensive players and better personnel around him. Like, really, it should have been insert Chase Young here. He's the one that should be winning one-on-one battles in the trenches. He was not. He's the one that should be getting tackles and sacks and pressures. He was not. He played literally double the games in San Francisco that he played in Washington, and his, at least, box score stats, in fact, decreased. Now, again, that isn't everything, but it's a good indication as to where he was, where the effort and production was for Chase Young with his time in San Francisco. Now, let me ask you. San Francisco says, hey, we are going to make a concentrated effort to revert back to who we once were with Saleh, with Ryans. Get rid of Steve Wilks, change the scheme back, get back to who our identity is. We're going to promote Nick Sorensen. We're going to hire KJ Wright, which is the exact reason as to why I mentioned it first on the podcast. We're going to go back to the scheme that we used to be. D Ford, Nick Bosa off the edges, Hargrave, Armstead, at the time, DeForest Buckner in the middle. We're going to go back to who we once were. Let our guys read and react. Not be part of a scheme with stunts and whatnot. Just let our guys go, right? Does that benefit Chase Young? To a certain degree, yes, it does. It's going to allow Chase Young to use his God-given ability, his talent, his physical traits to win one-on-one battles with left tackles and right tackles. You're not going to have play designs for him, or you're having stunts being run. You're like, it's going to be a much more, we trust you guys, go get it. The difference is, you gotta be locked in 100% of the time. You are almost given the keys to your own production, to your own success. It's going to be Nick Sorensen and Brandon Staley and company, Chris Kocurek, saying, hey, we're not going to tell you what to do the majority of the time. Just go out there and win. Chase Young did not show the ability consistently enough to do that. I like Chase Young. I think, like Dan Graziano points out, if it's a one-year prove-it deal, maybe under his market value, I'm thinking 1 year, $8 million makes a lot of sense, but under the caveat that we're going to have a 1 year with an option afterwards to lower that cap hit this year to give us more money in free agency, give us some wiggle room to find a veteran guard or go add in the secondary to find that veteran cornerback to round out that room. I'm not paying Chase Young $16 million. I'm not paying Chase Young double-digit money. This is not going to happen. With what he showed in San Francisco, his play was either equal to or worse in many areas in half the games that he had in Washington. Now, in a new scheme where maybe it does make Chase Young have to be locked in a lot more. If he's not being locked in, you're not going to find success in a scheme like a Pete Carroll front four zone coverage behind you where the defensive ends are the main factor. The front seven is a large factor in how good your secondary plays in a Pete Carroll system. That's why their defense in Seattle has struggled so much, because those guys cannot get pressure to help the secondary behind them, allowing their defense to get beat consistently. You have Nick Bosa, you know he's going to win. You have Hargrave, who for most of the time is going to win. He's a good pass rusher. If you have a healthy Eric Armstead, he'll be a factor in there as well. You add in Chase Young, on paper it should work. In production, on the field, this year didn't work out so well. So, for Chase Young, would I like to bring you back? Of course I would. Your name value, you and Nick Bosa have a great relationship, but just like Eldon M. Paul Sr. on Facebook says, let Chase Young go. I think that is a consensus opinion of many Niner fans. Unfortunately, I don't care what you want, Nick Bosa. Like, hiring a defensive coordinator? Sure. You're not making personnel decisions, unfortunately, right? I know Chase Young and Nick Bosa, they're friends, they're Buckeye brothers. If you're not going to produce, who cares? It was a risk. Risk. Third round pick, you lose that pick, you get Chase Young, you go for it all. He almost had it all this past season. He didn't get it done. And it's like, I don't want people to point to, well, he was good in the Super Bowl. You got to bring him back. No, you don't. There are plenty of people that played well in this Super Bowl, in the 2019 Super Bowl, that you don't bring back. DeForest Buckner got traded after losing that game. Now, there's context behind that, sure, but it's not as if, although San Francisco could have paid him, they chose not to. If I'm San Francisco and I'm sitting there saying, hey, like, we can free up some money by restructuring guys like Eric Armstead, Deebo Samuel, we can extend Kyle Juszczyk, Mooney Ward, we can free up money to maybe be a factor or a player in the premier edge rusher market. Brian Burns will be tough to acquire big money there, but how about a veteran player like Danielle Hunter? Hunter is presumed to get roughly $16+ million a year. I would be a lot more comfortable giving a proven talent, you know he's going to be locked in, you know can play well in this scheme, opposite Nick Bosa over Chase Young, where at times you're going to get that elite edge rusher that is a, you know, top two pick defensive player of the year talent. You expected him to be coming out of Ohio State. And other weeks, you're going to get a checked out, where is Chase Young on the box score kind of performance. And for San Francisco, knowing your schedule is only going to get harder, knowing the window, albeit is still open, isn't going to be open forever, is Chase Young a player you bring in to be the guy opposite Nick Bosa? My answer right now would be no.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Can he be a guy? Sure. The problem is, you don't pay some guys. You don't pay one of the guys elite money. You pay the guy elite money. And if Chase Young wants $16+ million a year over the course of 4 years, you're not getting it. I'll give you 2 years. I'll give you, let's see, let's do quick math here. 2 years, $20 million. That first year is like $8 million cap hit, pretty low. And I'm going to make sure that second year is an option. I want an out in that contract. Because I know Chase Young has not proven to me, proven to you. And because San Francisco themselves told Dan Graziano he was kind of a disappointment, he's not proven it to them. But I don't think they want to tie themselves to Chase Young for a long, large contract, despite what Nick Bosa might want. You can find veteran players to be key cogs in your rotation for almost the entirety of what Chase Young might be asking for on the open market. You can bring back Clelin Ferrell. You can find guys, no names come to mind now, but you can find players like in the past, your Kerry Hyders, your Arden Keys, your Charles Amenihues, those one-year hit wonders that Chris Kocurek's so good at getting the most value out of. You can find players like that on the open market for almost exactly what Chase Young wants just for 1 year. Why pay one guy $8 million when I can pay three guys $2.5 million a pop and they can add to our depleted depth on the defensive line? It just doesn't seem like a smart move to be kind of interested in Chase Young, but to me, that smells like, we like you, you're a fine player, you like Nick Bosa, but in reality, you just aren't our flavor of ice cream. You're just not exactly what we want. But you can be a guy, just not for $10 million. You're going to have to come in on a cheaper deal and show what you can actually prove or prove to be the guy opposite Nick Bosa. And to me, that's not been Chase Young so far. That is the Chase Young update we have. We'll see what occurs during the offseason. Maybe things go, let's say Brian Burns re-signs with Carolina or goes elsewhere. Let's say Hunter, you know, Hunter signs with the Rams, which they've wanted them for a long time. Maybe he goes to the Rams and they have Hunter. And San Francisco is like, uh-oh, like we have the 31st draft pick. We don't have a right tackle. Right guard's up in the air still. We don't have an edge rusher. Chase Young, come on down. Maybe that's the case. Sometimes the market plays out in your favor, and you can kind of lowball Chase Young. He comes back. Maybe he likes it here because he likes Nick Bosa. Maybe he wants to take a cheaper contract. That's also a case. But if he's won $10, $12 million a year, sayonara, sucker. You're not coming back. I'm sorry. I don't care what you want. Let's move on to Brandon Ayuk. Chase Young, we'll see what happens, but Brandon Ayuk, we all know he is going to remain a San Francisco 49er. Everyone telling you, or anyone telling you he's not going to be a San Francisco 49er, is lying to you. Because they do this with everybody. Well, we want to bring him back unless we're wowed by an offer. Yeah, that same thing went for George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, albeit Nick Bosa was a more defining, he'll be a Niner. They've always made it abundantly clear. Kyle Shanahan said it himself, if someone offered me 2-3 first round picks for myself, I would trade me too. They're open to anything on their star players, but their priority is to bring them back. That being said, we got an interesting update this weekend on NFL Network during the Combine by Rap Sheet himself, Ian Rappaport. He said San Francisco expects to work out a contract extension with Ayuk after free agency. Now, what sticks out in that sentence? Oh, Niners, Brandon Ayuk going to come together after free agency. Now, that isn't uncommon. Fred Warner, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Nick Bosa, all of those players either had their contracts extended during training camp, just before training camp, or Nick Bosa's case, just prior to week number one. It's not anything new to what San Francisco's done with their big-name stars, letting this thing ride out until the very last moment. They come in, the season starts to begin, the guys start getting loose, they realize, hey, I'm missing valuable time, then they get the contract done. That's nothing new. But that word after, albeit is what they've done in the past, does give me a little hesitation. Because why after? You can free up a lot of money, roughly $7 million, if you extend Brandon Ayuk now or soon. And I would like to think San Francisco saying, hey, $7 million can pay our draft class. $7 million could afford us to sign much needed depth, whether it's a receiver, a couple of cornerbacks, maybe a linebacker to aid that room without Dre Greenlaw. $7 million can sign you 3, 4, 5 players depending on how you want to allocate your funds and what position you want to try to acquire. So, yes, it's common for San Francisco to do this, but the reality of it is they are in a way right now cap-strung. They can free up a ton of money with restructures and extensions, sure. But when you have your big-name receiver on a fifth-year option, you know he's not going to play on a fifth-year option. I would not be surprised if he held out like Nick Bosa did, like other players have in the past, because they want to get paid, but that's valuable $7 million to spend in free agency when you are already not going to have Dre Greenlaw. You have a number two cornerback option if you want to keep Lenore playing nickel. You don't have a right tackle. You don't really have a right guard currently. And there are depth issues all along your defensive line. You can fill a lot of holes or maybe just find a starter for $7 million. But this wasn't the only change to the Ayuk conversation. This morning, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers re-signed Mike Evans. Now, Mike Evans, to me, is one of the most underrated, underappreciated receivers in the past, 10, 12 years? He's just been awesome. And I would not be surprised when it's all said and done, he's at least in a Hall of Fame conversation. That's how good he has been for the Buccaneers. But Mike Evans signed this morning 2 years, $52 million, $35 million guaranteed, putting him as the fourth highest paid receiver per average contract per year. So Tyreek Hill, $30 million, number one. Devontae's two, $28 million. Cooper Kupp is near $27 million, just under that cap hit. Then Mike Evans is $26 million. A.J. Brown's $25 million. And Deebo Samuel sits at eight at basically $24 million. So how does that affect Brandon Ayuk's contract? Well, one, Ayuk is younger. No injuries to his name or catastrophic ones thus far. He's ascending up the board, who had a similar season to Mike Evans this year. You have an aging Deebo Samuel going to be entering his age 29 season in 2 years. He's often injured. The value that Brandon Ayuk carries to San Francisco might be more so than what Mike Evans carries to the Buccaneers right now, despite Evans being a Pro Bowl receiver to this day, right? It does feel like, and this was a major part of the conversation pre-NFL Combine, would San Francisco be willing to pay $24 million a year on average to two receivers? I'm someone who says they're going to have to for at least one or two seasons, and I do think there's a way they're going to eventually move off of Deebo Samuel. But would San Francisco be willing to pay two receivers $24 million a year? They're going to have to. Now that Mike Evans has signed for $26 million a year, that does give Ayuk more leverage. He has now reset the market this season, this offseason, for a receiver of his caliber, in which Ayuk can say, hey, I have eerily similar stats to what Mike Evans has done. Now, San Francisco could say, hey, in our system, you're just not going to be that guy. Sure. To which Ayuk could say, I'm not going to play this year then. I'm going to hold out, or you could trade me. It's really that simple for Ayuk. Mike Evans signing for $26 million, I would not be surprised if Ayuk says, okay, I want 25. I want over what Deebo Samuel got at 23.9. I want $24.5 million. I'm playing similar to Mike Evans' production. I darn near outplayed A.J. Brown this year. I'm the closest thing you have to Devontae Adams in this system. You're not going to find a receiver better than me on the open market or the draft that's going to hit in year one. I know this draft class has amazing receivers. None of them in year one, maybe outside of Marvin Harrison Jr. and Romo Dunze, is going to be that instant impact kind of player. There just isn't those guys all over to be BA in year one. San Francisco needs that continued production this year from the number two receiver position. And darn near, Ayuk is your number one guy. He's now sitting back saying, hey, the price may have been 22, may have been 23. Now I want 24 and a half. It's a small number increase, but it does impact how far apart they could be in contracts. Now, look, I'm not in that room. I am not in those negotiations. They could tell Ayuk to pound salt until August, till September. They can tell him, sorry, wait. Like, you're going to have to hold this thing out to see how much money we have to spend. And like San Francisco likes to do, come training camp, they have no cap space. They have a large roster, but there are some fringe free agents out there, like Deshaun Gibson a couple years ago, right? Let's extend Ayuk now, free up $7 million, and give us $5 million in cap space in case someone gets hurt or we want to acquire someone via trade during the season. They always want that small little chunk of cap space headed into this next year. That could be a case, but I do think Mike Evans, production-wise, for Ayuk, eerily similar, and I also would not be surprised if Ayuk says, hey, not by a lot, but the asking price just went up a little bit. No longer is it 22. It's not under Debo's 23.9. Now it's 24 and a half. Maybe Ayuk says, give me $25 million a year. I'm younger. I'm ascending. At a certain point, I'm going to be the guy of your receiving core. Pay me like it now. It's a small difference, but I do think this does impact Ayuk's free agency case, or at least his value when it comes to what San Francisco is going to pay him. We have some comments in the chat here, Niners Media. What's going on? How you doing? It's a wonderful, what is it, Monday? It's a Monday, right? The weeks are flying by. Monday. Hope you're doing great. Bobo in the chat, as always. Bobo commented before we even went live at 12:32. We were live at 1 o'clock. She was, or they were already in this chat ready to go. Bobo says, keep the roster the same if possible because they have proven this squad can make it to the Super Bowl. It's Kyle Shanahan's play calling that needs to get better against good DCs. I don't think it's Shanahan's play calling being bad, but there are lapses in games that cost them. Bobo also says, the offensive line needs an upgrade for sure. Other than that, the roster is solid. For the most part, I agree. I do think San Francisco, they have no defensive linemen. It's, you have your stars, you have Bosa, you have Armstead, you have Hargrave, you have Drake Jackson off an injury, you have Kalia Davis, who can never stay healthy, you have Robert Beal Jr., who's also there. Other than that, you got 5-6 guys, and three of them are unproven or have been bad in their short stints on the field. San Francisco's going to have to draft a couple guys and sign a handful of, you know, cheap, vet, one-year guys. Kevin Givens has to be re-signed, I believe, like, Kinlaw's out there. Like, there are a lot of guys they have to either bring back or make decisions to not bring back. Like, they need veteran pieces. Guys get hurt. Armstead's always hurt. Hargrave got nicked up towards the end of the year. Chase Young, if they bring him back, he has injury history. Clelin Ferrell got hurt this year. They have a banged up, aging 31-year-old defensive tackles. Those guys need to have valuable depth behind them. But the offensive line, like Bobo says, needs an upgrade. You're right. They have a first-round pick for a reason. You got a lot of right tackles in this draft. I also think you can find mid-round developmental, mid-round fringe guards in this draft. Everyone is saying they have to get a center. When has Kyle Shanahan ever started a non-veteran center? Early in his tenure in San Francisco. Let's go sign Weston Richburg. They played Daniel Kilgore for a little bit, I believe. They went and signed Alex Mack. They extended Jake Brendel. Veteran players. They want those vets at the center position. I get they have Nick Zakel there, unproven. His snaps are inconsistent. I know he's Brock Purdy's roommate, but that means jack squat to how you play on the field. San Francisco is not in the business of playing favorites when it comes to, oh, those guys are friends? Cool. Who cares? They don't care. They will cut Nick Zakel tomorrow if it means bringing in a better center to back up Jake Brendel. It's that simple. I don't think Brendel is going anywhere. I don't think, like, to me, priorities lie this way. You got to find yourself a right tackle. You find a right tackle, it instantly improves your entire offensive line. Burford goes to a backup. McKivitz either goes to right guard or becomes your swing tackle once again. If McKivitz is your swing tackle, that's not a bad thing. He's an okay tackle if he's a backup. So you fix the right tackle. It improves the entire offensive line. Maybe you bring back Feliciano. I can guarantee if you go into next year with Trent Williams and Aaron Banks and Jake Brendel and Feliciano as your right guard with a rookie first-round right tackle, we will jump for joy at, wow, this offensive line has improved. The depth is better. Let's run this thing back. The other thing is, you get your right tackle figured out and you go improve that depth at edge rush or at defensive line and you get the trenches all oriented how you want them, you are going to find success for your secondary. If you find success on the defensive line, it makes the need, despite the want, for a cornerback number two if Lenore stays inside, less of a need. it makes it less important. Although it's still important to have one of those guys, I would not be surprised if San Francisco signs a player like Levi Wallace as our veteran cornerback in case Ambry Thomas or Luter stink in training camp, but they prioritize edge rushers, interior guys that can move the pocket, get quarterbacks off their spots, they have no problem playing Ambry Thomas. No problem starting him if it means getting better in the trenches. If this defense gets more sacks and more pressures, you're not going to hear Ambry Thomas's name as much as you did last year. 2019's defensive line was insane. They started an undrafted Emmanuel Mosley, and you only heard his name once when he blew that coverage on third and 15 against Kansas City. And on that exact play, KC was holding. That's a different conversation, but I do think San Francisco has always prioritized the trenches. That's not going to change this year. It's never going to change. First round pick, probably going to be a tackle or an edge rusher. I think it's going to be a tackle. Then you find your edge rusher in free agency. You get some depth here or there. You extend some guys, move money around them, bing, bang, boom. You go, wow, San Francisco has the best roster in the entire NFL again. They can just stay healthy. And you're going to find yourself in that conversation of, you know, Super Bowl, whatever it is now, 59 favorites is San Francisco 49ers. Like, it's hard to get back there. Doesn't mean they're actually going to get back there this season, but San Francisco has the ability to make this roster better in a different way.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Than it was last year. Better offensive linemen, better depth behind their edge rushers and interior guys, rounding out your cornerback room with non-bust free agent signings like Isaiah Oliver. If you do that, you're going to be a better team. Year two of Jair Brown as a playmaker. Like, there's ways to improve this team despite being already one of the best rosters in football. I do want to move down. Unless you have more questions, put them in the comments. But I want to move to one of the more nauseating conversations that we have to have, because when the NFL offseason starts, when the combine hits, rumors just fly. There are weird accounts on Twitter saying things like, where did this person come from? And it's probably a bot or some random person saying, oh, I have inside sources. Then you have bigger platforms like ESPN just tossing things out there to the wind, saying, this might stick here. That's what happened this past weekend. And it's a name that's been tossed out there amongst our very own fan base of, what about this guy as a backup quarterback? And that person is Zach Wilson. I know San Francisco wanted, or at least liked, Zach Wilson in the 2021 draft, the year they went and got Trey Lance. They liked Zach Wilson a lot. They scouted him. They read his games. They really liked what Zach Wilson could do. Now that he's a bust, similar to what Sam Darnold was with the Jets, the reports are that, well, the Niners make some sense to go acquire Zach Wilson. Younger guy. You get him under, and in this system, under Kyle Shanahan's tutelage, Brian Greasy, maybe they can work some magic and kind of make that piece of poop a little more shinier, right? I am someone who scoffs at that idea. But Dan Graziano decided to dust off Old Faithful this week. It's funny. He brings up the Chase Young thing. You go, okay, San Francisco might want to bring him back. That's interesting. You expect that, but didn't know they saw him as a disappointment, albeit you expect that, though. Then he does this. What about Chase Young to San Francisco? That could also stick somewhere, and you're like, man, Dan, you had me in the first half, but you lost me in the second half. He says, and I quote, the Rams and Niners are among intriguing options for quarterback Zach Wilson, who has permission to seek a trade from the Jets. That is one caveat here. You have to trade to acquire Zach Wilson. And I don't know which team in their right mind is going to trade even a 7th round pick for Zach Wilson. Like, Zach Wilson, unfortunately, might be a victim of the Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant draft pick. Teams are now less likely, less open to trading late round draft picks because they know, hey, the next Brock Purdy might be there. I won't take a guy in the 3rd, 2nd, or 4th round because I can get a 6th round guy that may not be the most physically, you know, specimen kind of player like Joe Milton is, but I can find a guy who can do what I want and can execute my scheme to how I deem fit. Zach Wilson might be a victim of that. I have no idea who is going to trade a 7th round pick for Zach Wilson, but if the Jets cut him, let's say, would you be open to signing Zach Wilson? When you read his stat line, you say, oh my God, no. Zach Wilson, albeit on pretty bad teams, not all awful, but pretty bad teams under Saleh in that regime in New York, 28 total touchdowns. That's rushing and passing. 28 total touchdowns. He's thrown 25 interceptions. He has fumbled 17 times. 12 of those 17 were turnovers. He has 28 total touchdowns to 37 total turnovers. What's the one thing as a quarterback you cannot do? Give the ball away. What's the one thing Kyle Shanahan won't stand for? Giving the ball away. Why would Zach Wilson, 3 years later now, be on his radar? I get he went and got Sam Darnold. They're very different players. I understand that, well, Darnold was a Jet, then a Panther. He was a bust too, and they signed him over Trey Lance. They traded Trey Lance away because they had Sam Darnold. To that I say no. Well, yes, Sam Darnold did win that quarterback 2 job, which made a lot of sense. They traded Trey Lance because they had Brandon Allen. There's a reason as to why, and I know fans might scoff at that. I know fans may not want to hear that. But now they have Brock Purdy. Remove your fandom for 1 second of Trey Lance. And I like Trey. I hope he succeeds in Dallas or wherever else he goes. But the reason why San Francisco felt so comfortable trading away Trey Lance was, yes, you have Brock Purdy, he's your quarterback 1. Yes, Sam Darnold won that quarterback 2 job, but we also have Brandon Allen. I think San Francisco feels extremely comfortable going into next year with Brock Purdy as starting quarterback, Brandon Allen as quarterback number 2, and insert late round rookie quarterback as a quarterback number 3. I think they feel extremely confident in Allen. Everyone made comments about, well, he's getting reps in training camp, and even I was one was like, hey, like, if you like Brandon Allen, fine, but why is he getting weird 5-rep stints and then not practicing the rest of the day? Because they wanted to see him in the system. He backed up Joe Burrow. If you were scoffing at the idea of Brandon Allen backing up Brock Purdy, after Brandon Allen backed up Joe Burrow, who's a better quarterback than Brock Purdy when healthy, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I don't want Zach Wilson. Unless it's for like a 1-year vet min, come in, we can cut you with nothing lost kind of deal, fine. But I have a really good idea they're going to go Purdy, Brandon Allen. He's a safer option, probably a cheaper option, and he doesn't turn the ball over like Zach Wilson has been prone to do as a starting quarterback. Now, to Zach Wilson's credit, he was not totally terrible with the Jets last year. There were a handful of games that they could have won with him playing. He was pretty good against the Chiefs. Like, there's still potential in Zach Wilson to be a valuable backup quarterback, just not in San Francisco. Go to Carolina. Go to a team like the Bengals. In fact, go to the Rams. We already have our backup quarterback here. Brock Purdy's quarterback one. Franchise quarterback in the building. Brandon Allen. They gave him reps over Trey Lance. Kept him over Trey Lance. Brought him in as quarterback three. Didn't cut him because they did not want to lose him to somebody else. Brandon Allen's going to be this team's quarterback too, unless something insane changes. Like, oh, Brock Purdy gets hurt. Got to find somebody else that can actually start 8 games. Like, Brandon Allen in a pinch, I think Kyle Shanahan feels comfortable that, hey, 1 game, 2 games, 3 games, Brandon Allen's not going to kill us. And we'll actually play winnable football. So, no to Zach Wilson. No. Keep him away from the Bay. Don't even breathe. Think about it. Don't even write it. He can go to the Rams. That's fine. Go back up Matthew Stafford. He got a bum shoulder. That's fine. He's already near retirement age. Go to Los Angeles. Go to LA. Let McVay do his thing. That's fine. Go let McVay, like he did to Baker Mayfield, revitalize Zach Wilson's career. Fine. Go beat the Raiders. Fine. Do not come to San Francisco. But look, Chase Young, I would not bring him back for what the market value says he is. $12-plus million a year. The effort's not always been there. The production in San Francisco was not always there. You got to find someone that can actually be a stud and a star opposite Nick Bosa. You want to have opposing quarterbacks and opposing offensive lines be horrified to play you. They're scared of, right now, one side of the defensive line. The other side is a ghost town of talent. You have no idea what you're going to get. In fact, there's not much in that room already. Chase Young going to have to be a very cheap 1 year, maybe 2 year deal at most for dirt cheap if he wants to come back to San Francisco. Brandon Ayuk's going to get done, but I do think the Mike Evans contract increases what he might ask for. Maybe not what he gets, but certainly what he's going to ask for in those negotiations with San Francisco. And dare I say, it might pay San Francisco some good if they pay him now, because I believe Justin Jefferson wants to get paid. T. Higgins already got that franchise tag. The more you wait, the longer you wait, the more that price going to go up for Ayuk. I want to pay him now. Free up that money for free agency now. Give yourself a chance to pay some top dogs now. Do not wait. Don't have to rely on kicking that can down the road on Debo and Juszczyk and other players. Extend Ayuk now. Free up the money now to pay guys now. Now. Do it now. Samuel in the chat says, yes, but we need to address the O-line and D-line first. Samuel, you're right. My entire crux, my entire pitch to the Niners this offseason has been trenches, trenches, trenches. Go extend Ayuk so you can pay for a Danielle Hunter. So you can go add depth to the defensive line. Draft the right tackle in the first round. Find a guard in the mid rounds. This team has the draft picks to do so, and they can free up the money to make this roster overall better, more consistent, to make their depth better by finding their starters in free agency and via the draft. And again, it's a hard no on Zach Wilson. That room this year is going to be Brock Purdy, Brandon Allen, and insert rookie quarterback or random second-year vet off the market. That's all I have for you today. We have updates on Chase Young and Ayuk and others. Tell me what you think down below. Would you pay Chase Young big money? Did you like what he did in San Francisco? Would you want to pay Ayuk now before more receivers get extended, moving that cap hit, maybe his request higher and higher up that list. What would you even pay Brandon Ayuk in a contract extension? Would you want Zach Wilson in that quarterback room next year? And what did you make of the KJ Wright hiring? Tell me all down below in the comments. Samuel said he missed the Chase Young news. Essentially, Samuel, the Chase Young news is San Francisco may or may not want him back. They have a slight interest in bringing him back, but they viewed him as a disappointment, and it's going to have to be a one-year prove-it kind of deal. Would you make that deal? Tell me down below. Again, that's all I have for you today. It's the off-season, folks. The rumors are flying. The storm chasers are out there. The smoke chasers are out there. We are certainly one of them. Thank you for liking, commenting, subscribing. And as always, until next time, actually first, follow us on social media at 49ers_access is the X or Twitter account. 49ers.access is the Instagram. And use our promo code 49ersAccess. 49ERSACCESS at SeatGeek.com and save yourself $20 off your first purchase. My name is Sterling Bennett. And as always, until next time, stay faithful.